Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1, Chapter 4, The Appearance of Sri Narada, text number 20. And doesn't look like it's 20. Oh, there we go. Rig Yaju Samartar Vakya. Vedas chatvara udrita itahasa puranam cha panchamano veda uchite rigyajur samatar vakya Vedais chatvara udrita itahasa puranam cha panchamo veda uchite Ladies, a little louder. Okay. Rik Yaju Sama Artarava Akya. The names of the four Vedas. Veda, the Vedas. Chatvara, four. Udrita, made into separate parts. Itihasa, historical records. Mahabharata, Puranam cha, and the Puranas. Panchama, the fifth. Veda, the original source of knowledge. Uchite is said to be. Only translation. The four divisions of the original sources of knowledge, the Vedas, were made separately. But the historical facts and authentic stories mentioned in the Puranas are called the fifth Veda. And we're going to read the next verse. After the Vedas were divided into four divisions, Pila Rishi became the professor of the Rig Veda, Jaimini, the professor of the Samaveda, and Vaishampanyana alone became glorified by the Yajur Veda. Purport, the different Vedas were entrusted to different learned scholars for development in different ways. Next text, the Samantu Muni Angira, who is very devoutly engaged, was entrusted with the Atharva Veda. My father, Ramaharshan, was entrusted with the Puranas and historical records. I guess that just proves one thing about history, is that people don't learn from history. Or I should say, there's one thing you learn from history is that people don't learn from history. So Ramaharshan is in charge of history, but obviously he didn't learn from history. Purport. In the Shruti Mantras, it is stated that Angira Muni, who strictly followed the rigid principles of the Atharva Vedas, was the leader of the followers of the Atharva Vedas. Now, text number 23. All these learned scholars, in their turn, rendered their entrusted Vedas unto their many disciples, grand disciples, and great-grand disciples. Thus, the respective branches of the followers of the Vedas came into being. Purport. The original source of knowledge is the Vedas. There are no branches of knowledge, either mundane or transcendental, which do not belong to the original text of the Vedas. They have simply been developed into different branches. They were originally rendered by great, respectable, and learned professors. In other words, the Vedic knowledge, divided into different branches, has been distributed all over the world by different disciple successions. No one, therefore, can claim independent knowledge beyond the Vedas. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutve Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminte Namine Namaste Sarasvatundeve Gauravani Vracharane Nirvishesha Shnivadi Paskatyade Stitarne. As Prabhupada said in one lecture in London, that Veda means knowledge. So whatever knowledge we may have, that's called Veda. The original knowledge is coming from Krishna. And actually right now, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Savasya Chaham Riddhi Sanavishto Matak Smritir Gyanam Aponam Cha Vedaischa Savara Ahameva Vedyo Vedantakrid Vedavid Eva Chaham. That Krishna is sitting in everyone's heart, and from him comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas he's to be known. Indeed, he's the compiler of Vedanta, and he knows the Vedas as they actually are. So everyone has some knowledge. Sattva Narupa Sarvasha Shadhad Bhavati Bharata Sharao Ma Yoyam Purusho Yoyat Shara Seva Saha. That according to one's existence, under the three modes of material nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith. And as one acts according to that faith, he evolves another set of modes of nature. In other words, this body that we've been given, which is Sattvam Rajas Tamayiti Guna Prakriti Sambhava Nibandanti Mahabaho Dehe Dehinam Avyam. The material body consists of the three modes, namely goodness, passion, ignorance. When a living entity comes in contact with those modes, he becomes conditioned by them. So according to what particular mode we're situated under, we have a particular type of perception, both subtly and grossly. And we call that knowledge. And that knowledge is given to us by Krishna through the material nature. In other words, we didn't create the material nature. We don't move the material nature. All we do is desire. Unfortunately, if we desire the wrong way, then we get involved in the modes of nature. And if we desire the right way, then we get involved in the spiritual energy. So it's simply depending upon our desire, and our desire depends upon our knowledge, what is desirable and what is not desirable. Or as Krishna says, that in the mode of goodness, one knows what is to be done and what is not to be done, what is binding and what is liberating. And in the mode of passion, one sometimes thinks what's to be done, they think it's not to be done. And what's not to be done, sometimes they think it's to be done. But in the mode of ignorance, then one thinks what is not to be done, they think that's the goal of life. And when they think what they think is the goal of life, they think that that's what everyone should avoid. So that's called the mode of ignorance. So those under the spell of the modes of ignorance, or those under the spell of the mode of passion, generally they don't know what's to be done, what's not to be done, what's liberating, what's binding, what causes happiness, what causes distress. That's the definition of not having any knowledge. So the Vedas are to help us to, at least in the beginning, to come to the platform where we can actually understand things properly. So in the beginning, the Vedas are not meant for so-called educated people, really actual educated people. It is said that by birth, jayate, janmana jayate shudra, by taking birth, one is a shudra. Shudra means one who's lamenting. And who's not lamenting in the material world? Everyone's lamenting. To have a material body and identify with it means that one has to lament. It's the whole thing is lamentable. Take birth, everyone's so happy, except for the baby, who's screaming. As soon as he comes out of the womb, they're beating him. Welcome to the material world. That's the first one. And you'll get a few more in between. We finally slap you out of the material world into some other material body. So we're born, we're slapped, we're screaming. They want us to scream. They slap you until you scream when you take birth. Welcome. Happy birthday. So that's the first birthday, you're screaming. And then after, you know, this screaming keeps on going on for some time, waking up at night, no one understands what you're trying to say, what you're trying to communicate. You can't even move. Finally you get to move, and then they want you to do all of these crazy things. And you're trying to walk, trying to talk. And then as soon as you can do that, they send you off to the school to brainwash you. Or Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura said, by birth we're all born shudras, and by education, modern education, one becomes less than an animal. So it takes years to make a human being who is a shudra into less than an animal. But they do it. They have systematic education. And then the rest of the lifetime, they have the carrot in front of you and people are just pulling a heavy load, running after the carrot. And that's called life. It's always one step ahead, the carrot. So it's lamentable. And then after working so hard, suffering so much, crying so much, then finally you die. Or as they say, no one gets out of here out of this material world alive. You die and take another birth, which is probably going to be more lamentable than the last one. So, janmana jayate shudra. By birth, everyone is a shudra. And some fortunate people, they come in contact with some skarabhavat dvija. One may come in contact with some knowledge, some awareness of something beyond the material body. Some education, that there's higher powers behind the universe. The demons, they say, asatyam apratishtam te jagat ohoranishvaram aparashvaram sambhudyam kimanyat kamahai duke. The demons say there's no God, there's no foundation, there's no controller. The whole material world is produced as sex desire, and there's no other cause than lust. So don't look beyond lust. You're going to miss out on it. If you look too hard and to some cause in the material, a personal cause in the material world, a God, you're going to miss out in 10 minutes of sense gratification. 10 minutes you could have had for sense gratification, you're praying to God. But if you're going to have to pray to God, at least pray to God for sense gratification. That way, if there's a God, then he'll be useful at least. So this is called miseducation. People are misdirected. Andaya tandera. Upagaya manas te pisha tantra rudami bhara. Are they blind? People are blind by the material nature. They were born into the darkest of ignorance. And their leaders are taking them into darker ignorance. They're also blind. Therefore, if somehow or another, fortunately, at least in the Varna and Ashram system, then there would be Brahmin priests who are trained up for since their childhood through austerity, through cultivation of actual knowledge, through submission, through humility, and they were able to chant the Vedic mantras, which require qualification. And by being able to chant the Vedic mantras, they could actually have an effect on the material energy. And therefore, when people came to them, they want wealth, they want health. As we've heard that song many times, the famous song, give me a house, give me a wife, give me a color TV, or buy a house by the sea, Om Jai Jagadish Hari. So people chant their mantra, and they're doomed to go to the darkest regions of ignorance. But if they're fortunate enough to come in contact with a Brahmin priest who can chant the mantras, and they receive their house, their wife, their color TV, then they develop some faith in the Vedas. And by developing some faith in the Vedas, instead of going to the bank, as Prabhupada said, nowadays people don't go to the bank. They don't go to the church to pray for bread. They go to the bank to pray for a loan. The street I was brought up near was called Church Avenue, which meant that at some time there were churches on that avenue. But if you go there now, you won't find any churches. You'll find banks. Because it's easier to go to the bank, pray for a loan, you get it right away. But if you go to the church and pray, it's not really 100% guaranteed, or no one knows when the bread is going to be delivered. Especially in Christmas, God is overwhelmed with his bakery. Everyone's working overtime, trying to produce bread, so that when everyone prays for bread, they can deliver it on time. Reindeers are overworked delivering bread. But if you go to the bank, you can get it right away. So people pray for their loan, and if they get their loan, then they think that our life is successful. So people, by education, they've been misdirected. They don't think that there is any God. There's only any reason to have any kind of relationship with God. But if one is fortunate and actually realizes that the Vedas are actually practical and can produce results, then one develops faith in the Vedas. And later on, one may desire higher and higher material things, or at least in the beginning one wants freedom from distress, and the Vedas give us, by the Brahmin priest chanting the mantra, for instance, one wants health, they tell you to go out to the sun and offer some to the sun god. So everyone, even nowadays, they say that if you go out into the sun, you'll get vitamin D. So if you make anyone who goes out to the sun god makes an offering, he gives back vitamin D, and people become healthy. So people develop faith. They get health. They get wealth, real wealth, which is fresh air, nice food, nice relationships, peaceful life. And one can do that by following the Vedas and by offering sacrifice performed by the Brahmin priests. And then after some time, when one is comfortable, one is free from distress, then one wants comfort. One wants nicer food, longer duration of life, healthy life, nicer relationships, freedom from stress, distress. And the Brahmin priests, they give the intelligence, the knowledge, perform the sacrifices, the rains come on time. It's easier and easier to grow food, get the vegetables. People are less in anxiety. They know what real wealth is. Everyone can achieve it easily. And then one hears, one has time left over, one becomes attracted to the Vedas, and they hear the stories of the Puranas, of Indra, living in the heavenly planets for millions of years, enjoying the Nandakandana forest, and with the Apsaras, and one thinks, let me go there. I need a vacation. Go there for a little while. And therefore one performs even more sacrifice, follows even more strictly the Vedas, and becomes eligible to go to the heavenly planets. And there one finally meets one's soulmate. Or one thinks one meets one's soulmate for some time, enjoys, and then falls back again. In this way, one goes up and down like a yo-yo through all the planetary systems. Tasyaiva heto prayate te kovido te labhyate yad pramita upardita. And then one realizes that I'm going up and down like a yo-yo, sometimes free, relatively more free from distress, sometimes more in distress. Let me get out of this material world. So one tries to become a Brahmin. One hears about, not only I'm not this body, because inherently with the idea of going to the heavenly planets is the idea that you're eternal. Because otherwise, how can you transfer from one body to another? But then let me become actually eternal. Let me merge in Brahman, get out of this up and down like a yo-yo. Let me stay in a nice, peaceful place forever. So then one becomes attracted to the higher Vedas, the Upanishads, and hears about the process of merging in Brahman, realizing oneself as Brahman. And then if one is still more fortunate and receptive, then one can come in contact with a devotee. Janmana jayate shudra samkhra bhavat vija veda panta bhavat vipra brahma janatiti brahmanaha. One realizes Brahman. So our movement, our Krishna consciousness movement, starts from the Brahman realization. Now we may not be Brahman realized, but we have to at least theoretically understand that not only we're Brahman, but we're Krishna's servants. So we start with that knowledge, and then we perform devotional service, which is the process by which we get all everything, whatever we want. Nigama kalpatara galitam palam. The Vedas may be a desire tree, but if we go directly to the person who is in charge of the tree, then he'll give us any fruit we want. So if we go to Krishna, ask for him, whatever fruit he can give us to us, but the best fruit is to work on the Brahman platform, because that the whole Vedeshu jagneshu tapasu chaiva daneshu yat punya pralam pradivyam adyati yat karma pralam pradivya yogi staram param upaiti chadyam. That everything in the Vedas is aimed at liberation, because everything is aimed at happiness. And happiness, at least freedom from distress, begins at liberation. But if one performs devotional service, one is automatically on the liberated platform. But we have to, if we really want to be liberated, we have to understand what it means to work on the liberated platform. What it means, Ishvara tadineshu polishesu dvidvatsu cha prema maitri kripopeka yat karoti samadhimaha. What it means to work on the liberated platform, to actually try to love Krishna, to give up our false ego. So false ego means we can give it up. The aim of the Vedas is Acharya mam vijani nam mava manyate karichit. It's to accept Krishna's representative. Or as it says in that other verse, bayam dvitiya desitasya ishadabhatasya vipario smriti. When we reverse our role, instead of becoming Krishna's servant, we want Krishna to be our servant, then we are given a material body and we become fearful. But if we change that consciousness and become the servant of Krishna's servants again, one who's actually a servant of one who's actually Krishna's servant, or one who's assisting Krishna's servants, then the result is that we get a real ego, that I'm the servant of the servant. Gopi Bharata Pada Kamalayor, Dasa Dasa Anudasa. If we simply remember Krishna, that will not do us very much good. If we remember the servants of the servants of Krishna and become their servants, then we'll actually be serving Krishna. Otherwise, just remembering Krishna is doubtful whether we're actually even serving Krishna. So from that point of view, to love Krishna means we learned how to love Krishna by serving those who are actually in love with Krishna, the Prema Bhaktis, or those who are serving the Prema Bhaktis, the Mahabhagavats. Then, in that service, serving them, we actually become more and more expert in cooperating with the devotees to worship Krishna in the temple and worship Krishna outside the temple, by not only helping the other devotees by worshiping Krishna in the temple, doing Sankirtan in the temple, chanting in the temple, spreading Krishna consciousness to others by chanting, but we also try to help the innocent people who have no idea of the value of the chanting of Hare Krishna or practicing pure devotional service. So we cooperate for that, not only to serve Krishna in the temple, but serve Krishna everywhere. And then, not only the atheistic propaganda that there's no God will be defeated, but our reluctance, our doubts, our misconceptions will also become eradicated if we actually challenge the conception that there is no God and that we're all God. If we actually work to challenge that conception, then when we see it's defeated, it'll be defeated in our own hearts also. We'll actually become devotees of Krishna. Therefore, the aim, Vedaischa Savar Hami Vedyo, Jaimini, Atarva, or Angiri, whatever, they were compiling the Vedas to help people gradually become elevated so they can one day take up the process of pure devotional service. So it's very unfortunate when people actually have the opportunity to take up pure devotional service and then they become attracted to some kind of flower of the Vedas, some kind of fruit that the Veda is offering, and they give up devotional service and they run after the so-called fruits of the material energy. Just like in Los Angeles here, there was one devotee some years ago and he inherited $25 million. So as soon as he got the $25 million, of course he went to pick it up. As soon as he got it, then he sent back his dhoti and books and japa beads and said, I won't need these anymore. I've gotten the fruit. So that's quite unfortunate because the fruits of the material energy are not, will never satisfy one. And ultimately, they simply, the result of eating such a fruit, the real fruit, is old age, disease, and death. And then having to come back and eat the fruits again. Or at least in the we've heard that these fruits are actually Nitadvidas Chitrivitam Hari Yasho Jagat Parvitam Pragriha Kari Chit Tidvayasam Tirto Shanti Manasa and Ukshikshaya Niramantu Shikshaya. That the fruits of the material world are actually meant for crows. They may look very nice, just like nowadays they have all this nice food in the supermarkets, big tomatoes the size of a watermelon, nice and red, glowing, and inside is only chemicals. It looks like a tomato. It doesn't smell like one. It shines like, you know, a sun. But inside is only poison. So similarly, in the material world, there may be very nice fruits, go to heaven, become rich, become famous, become so many, but Queen Kunti said these are all poison. Why are they poison? Janmaishvarya Shuta Shivira Eda Manak Madat Puman Naivahatya Vadatum Vai Twama Kinshana Gochara. Anyone who's mad after or is interested in developing, advancing their position. Nowadays, material birth means position. Maybe take birth in America, but maybe America's first world country, maybe America's second world country now, I don't know. Going towards third. It's losing the race. Whatever, we're getting some position in the material world, somewhere getting a position, a title, a job, something. As Prabhupada was in Dai Nipan, ordering his Krishna books with Karanda, because that was 1970. And when Prabhupada was sitting there, all the big personalities from Dai Nipan, all their big executives marched into the room, and the chief executive officer put his card down first, and all the other executives in their order of seniority put their cards down. Finally, there were some negotiations went on. Prabhupada got a good deal for the Krishna book, and all the big executives filed out. Well, except for one, the most junior executive. So Prabhupada said, what is the goal of your life? So the junior executive took his card, which was on the bottom, and moved it up to the top. So that's called janma. Let me get some higher position. And Aishwarya, and then I can get wealth, and with wealth I can buy anything. As it says, wealth can't buy you love, but it can put down a good deposit. So people are thinking, with wealth I can get anything I want. I can order anything on Amazon, practically speaking. And then Shruta, so-called knowledge, if I get my title, my degree, I may not know how to tie my shoelaces, but if I have my degree, I'm considered a learned person. I don't know where my keys are. I don't even know where I am, but because I got a title, I'm learned. And Shrivi, if you learn how to paint your face in a certain way, or if you can't paint it anymore, you go to they have right down the corner there, you can go and have a new face. Nowadays they're trying to give people new heads. And that's called beauty. So people are working hard for these things to advance their material existence, but it's all based upon the bodily concept of life, but we're not the body. So to work for something we're not means to put your money in the wrong bank account. So what will be the result? That we're already intoxicated by our material existence, therefore we don't know who we are or what the goal of life is. But when we work for the wrong goal of life, then instead of just being intoxicated, we become completely crazy. And a crazy person doesn't know who Krishna is or what the goal of life is, and therefore they can't chant Hare Krishna with feeling. Maybe they can chant Hare Krishna and they'll get some benefit, but not with any feeling. They don't feel that they have to take shelter of Krishna. They've taken shelter of so much of the material nature, they figure that they'll be protected. They're actually making progress. Therefore, the conclusion is, if we actually follow the Vedas, then we become more and more renounced after we realize that it's, the material nature is not what we're looking for. But that's not sufficient. We have to actually find out it's the spirit, acting in spiritual consciousness and becoming a servant of Krishna's servants, especially a self-realized person such as Srila Prabhupada, or those who can help us take shelter of Srila Prabhupada, becoming their servants. That will actually lead us to Krishna, which is the whole aim of all the Vedas, all the knowledge that the Rishi is putting forward, all the knowledge of the Srimad Bhagavatam, whatever, simply become a surrendered servant to the servants of Krishna and do some, whatever service may be there, to please the spiritual master who's in disciple succession and ultimately what will please him is when we become Krishna conscious, and we can do that by trying to help others become Krishna conscious too. Because that is the mission of Krishna in this age. Not only to help others, but especially to help ourselves become Krishna conscious. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes, we have the solution to all the problems, especially our problems. Yes. People, whatever we're doing, someone's going to follow. Everyone's looking for a leader. So anyone who's below us in some respect, as soon as they're watching us to see what we're doing, they'll follow. Everything we do, someone's going to follow. And everyone we're associating with, we're going to follow them to a certain extent. Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunte Prakriti Jangunan Karna Guna Sangosya Sad Asad Yoni Janmisu. The living entities in this material world thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of material nature. Thus they meet with both good and evil amongst the various species. So by Sangat Sanjayate, by association, everything takes place. So therefore, our only hope, whatever we're eating, whatever we're doing, is to put the acharya within our heart and those who are assisting him, put the whole disciple succession in our heart, find out what they want us to do with this body, mind, and words, and then do that. That's our only, become an instrument. Nimitra matram bhavasava sachin. Become an instrument for the previous acharyas in Krishna. That's our only protection. Anything less than that, we're in difficulty. Though we're in difficulty, but at least we should know how to get out of difficulty. Yes. By such renunciation, one will get peace of mind. No, well, maybe has some validity what you said, but generally we go through karma yoga, jnana yoga, stanga yoga, bhakti yoga. There's no separate path than that. So do what we're supposed to do, then develop some knowledge. There's only one path of knowledge, the path that helps us understand we're not this body and that Krishna is God. That is knowledge. Everything else is ignorance. But when we simply act dutifully, what we're supposed to do, then we can become peaceful enough to hear something and understand we're not this body, at least theoretical, but it's theoretical that we're not this body, Krishna is God. Then we have to concentrate our minds, like Brahma did, upon the knowledge. We have to do the things that will actually concentrate our minds so we can actually experience what the sound vibrations are all about. And then when we do that, we learn that everything here belongs to Krishna. Everything is meant for Krishna's service. And we should utilize it for Krishna's service. That's called pure devotional service. So that's called, that's real renunciation of the fruits of activity. Yes. Yeah, it depends on what they think. First of all, what is modern biology? When Prabhupada used to meet scientists who are biologists, he'd say, poor frogs. So I don't think the Vedas were telling you how to sacrifice frogs for the so-called advancement of science. But whatever they're able to discover, which is valid, is already there in the Vedas. But it doesn't mean that every, you know, the scientific method, although it may be included within some branch of the Vedas, that you do a so-called empirical investigation, which is all within the realm of pratyaksha and anuman, you know, it's not really recommended in the Vedas, that particular methodology of gaining knowledge. What are they discovered? Have they seen the soul? Have they seen the super soul? What have they actually come about? Maybe they know how to put two bones together. If they break, how to, you know, make a splint for all the, or the, but to say that simply because they've discovered how to manipulate the material energy in a crude way, that's already there in the Vedas, but in a much more sophisticated way. And they have their airplanes, but in the Vedas there is also the Vimanas, which are much more sophisticated. Whatever there is already there in our modern scientific inventions, Prabhupada said that they're trying to dig underneath the earth. Well, this, by mystic power, you can become small in the smallest, you can become bigger than the biggest, you can become heavier than the heaviest, lighter than the lightest, you can do any kind of inconceivable activity, Prabhupada said, by having water coming, entering into your eye and exiting, or manipulate the material nature in so many different ways. So the Vedas go at least achieve whatever science is achieving, but go way beyond that also. Problem is that hardly anyone's qualified to actually achieve these results of the Vedas. The Prabhupada said that one of his godbrothers from Germany, he came to India. And said, he said, why look for mystic powers? He said, the scientists have achieved them to some degree. Therefore, he took up bhakti yoga, something beyond simply trying to manipulate the material energy. I mean, how many scientists are trying to find the super soul or the soul, which is real science? Instead, they're just trying to manipulate the material nature. And mostly, at least a good portion of them, are trying to figure out how to kill us all quicker. That we're only going to live for 70, 80, 90, maybe at the maximum 100 years, but they're very dissatisfied with that. They'd rather scientifically figure out how to end our lives within a couple of minutes than they actually think that they made some advancement. Eliminate the unwanted, useless eaters. That's called science. Maybe, you know, I know, I don't, it's doubtful whether, for instance, they may produce cars, and everyone's so proud the scientists have produced cars and jet planes. Now jet planes are everywhere. But now the pollution's everywhere. Now the noise is everywhere. Now they're working so hard to get the petroleum and destroying nations. Killing millions of people. So is that progress? Scientific progress? Now people have jet lag, so many problems due to so many traveling excessively. But of course we're utilizing these things in Krishna's service. but I don't think most people are traveling back and forth to go to visit our temples on these airplanes. All right, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Krantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.